Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word comes to us this morning from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So far the word of the Lord. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. Some of our members are actually on their way to Arizona. I believe they're actually traveling today. So imagine yourself traveling with them through the wilderness, through the desert. And on your way, you see a pile of human bones. Now imagine also somebody in the car, maybe I'm with you in the car, says, hey, let's get out and preach to those bones. Probably think that person a complete nutter, right? And yet that's exactly what God told the prophet Ezekiel to do, and many of you probably remember how God showed the prophet Ezekiel a valley full of dry bones and said, preach to these bones. Well, what good's that going to do? But you know how the prophet Ezekiel preached those bones, and as he preached to those bones came together, and sinew and flesh grew upon them, and he continued to preach to them, and the Spirit of the Lord blew upon them, and they were given the breath of life, and they stood, and they lived. Now Paul tells us in our text that you are those dead bones, which have come to life by the grace of God and through the preaching of God. And Paul tells us in our text, because you have been given life, you were dead, you were dry bones in the wilderness, but now you are living in Christ. Because you have been given life in Christ, therefore live, continue to live in that grace of God. You know, there's nothing for selling product as good as showing before and after pictures, right? And it doesn't matter what product you're trying to sell, whether you're selling a vacuum cleaner or weed killer or compost or something to clean the laundry with. If you can demonstrate, if you can show the customer this is what it was like before and see how dirty it was and now see how clean it was, see how well the product works, people are going to be much more likely to buy it. Before and after can also be helpful, can be useful for encouragement. If you've started a new project in your life, if you're trying to exercise more, or if you're trying to learn a new skill, and you can remind yourself what it was like before and now how much you've achieved, even if it's just a little progress, that can be encouraging to continue, not to give up in that new project. So Paul, in our text today, he wants to remind us. He wants to remind us what we were before and what we are now in Christ. How we were those dead bones and the life that we now have in the grace of God, so that we are encouraged to continue steadfast in that grace and not to give up and become discouraged. And so we have these examples. We have many examples. We're only going to go through a few, but we have many examples in our text of Paul telling us, this is what you were like before, but this is what you are now in Christ. This is the first one we're going to look at. If you look at verse 2, it says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. You were walking around in trespasses and sins. But then if you go down to verse 10, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, now we are walking around in God's grace and in the good works which God prepared for us. Now, in both of these cases, in verse 2 and in verse 10, when the word that's translated walk, the Greek word that Paul uses there is peripateo. And that doesn't mean just walking on a path, but it actually means like walking around. In fact, we have an English word that comes to us from this Greek word, peripatetic. And somebody who has a peripatetic lifestyle is somebody who moves around a lot. So, example, somebody who's in the military, their job causes them to move around a lot. They have a peripatetic lifestyle. So this is the picture that Paul is trying to paint here. This is not the same image or picture that we get, for example, from Psalm 1. Psalm 1 reminds us not to walk in the way of the ungodly, but to walk in the way of righteous. And so there we have that picture of this straight road of God's way versus this way of sin. But this is a slightly different picture here, because it's not that walking along a path, but it's more about walking around and what you're wearing while you walk around. So here, Paul says, before, we were walking around dressed in our sin. We go out of the house, we walk around in the park, we walk around at the mall, whatever, but we're leaving the house dressed in our sin. Our shame is well exposed for everyone to see. That's what we were without Christ. But now, Paul says, in Christ, now we go out, we walk around, we're no longer clothed in our sin, but as David reminds us, our sin is covered by God's grace. Blessed is the man whose transgression is covered, right? We're covered in God's grace, and that's what we look like when we walk around. So we can think here of, for example, Lamech, the descendant of Cain. And you remember how Lamech, the descendant of Cain, boasted, he bragged about the fact that he had murdered a man. That's what we were like, going around showing off, boasting, wearing our sin for everyone to see. But now in Christ, we're like Paul. You remember how Paul says, I'm not going to boast in anything I have done, but only in the cross of Christ. Galatians 6:14. God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of Christ, in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the difference here isn't necessarily the path you're walking, although that is a difference too, but that's not the image that Paul wants to show us. The difference here isn't necessarily that before you were sinners and now you're perfect and never do any sin. We still have it. We know how we still have that sinful flesh. But the difference is our sin isn't shown off. It isn't exposed. We're not bragging about it. Our sin now is hidden under God's grace and covered. You go think back to Genesis chapter 3 and you remember the purpose of clothing. The purpose of clothing, God gave clothes to Adam and Eve to hide their shame. They were naked and they were ashamed of it, and so God covered their shame. Well, nowadays, people know how to use clothing instead of covering their shame to show it off. And that's what Paul is talking about in our text. That before Christ, rather than having our sin or shame covered, it was exposed, and we were exposed, and our sinfulness was exposed. But now our shame is covered in Christ. You know, we mess up. And it embarrasses us. We get angry and yell, and we're embarrassed about that, right? We make mistakes, we make accusations, we gossip about one another, we say mean things about one another. We're ashamed of that sin. And sometimes we might even be afraid that that's all anybody thinks about, or that's all other people think about us when they see us, or when they think about us, because they know how we did this or we did that. But we know that shame now is no longer exposed. It's covered in Christ Jesus. And Paul reminds us, too, that love covers a multitude of sin, right? So that we're no longer walking about in that filth of our sin, but instead covered in God's grace. This is what God's grace has done for us. This is what we are now in Christ. And because God's grace has done this for us, Paul says, continue steadfast in that grace of Christ. Another example here that Paul talks about, you look at verse 3 of our text. We were conducting ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh. So Paul says before, we are slaves to our desires. Whatever we wanted, whatever our desires were, we fulfilled them to our shame. But now, verse 6, we are raised up out of that filth in Christ Jesus. So the picture here is someone living in filth and squalor. Well, and that kind of reminds me of the Gogan family from Pete's Dragon. How many of you guys remember the old Pete's Dragon, right? And the Gogan brothers who are complaining because they said, well, we had our bath for the year back in May, and they didn't think they should have to have another bath this year. Those are people who are living in literal filth, and the movie kind of depicts them pretty dirtily. Well, that's what Paul says we are like spiritually, living in our filth until we have been raised out of it by Christ. When you think of Scripture, we can think of King Ahab. And you remember what a whiny little baby King Ahab was, and there's really no other way to describe him. When he didn't get his way, what did he do? He wanted a vineyard. He couldn't buy it. He went back home. He curled up on his bed and sulked. And then eventually he lied and committed murder in order to get what he wanted. He was a slave to his desires. And when he couldn't fulfill his desires, he sulked in his bed. It's really bad and evil that he killed Naboth. But the fact that he was sulking like this is really pathetic. And that's an example of somebody who's just living in the filth of their own sin. And that's what we were like before Christ. And that's something we should be ashamed of. But Christ has raised us up out of that so that we no longer have to sulk every time we don't get our way. So we no longer have to live in that filth, but we have been washed in Christ Jesus. Well, another example Paul gives us here is verse 2. That we were sons of disobedience, he says. But then again, if you look back to down to verse 6, but now we sit together with Christ in the heavenly places. So the phrase here, sons of disobedience, refers both to the fact that we were by nature rebellious, we were those who were disobedient, but it also refers to the fact that because we were rebellious and disobedient against God, therefore we are under his wrath. And the word disobedience can actually be translated both ways, as disobedience or as wrath. And both are true. We were rebellious, we were disobedient, and because of that disobedience, we are under the wrath of God. As Paul reminds us again in Romans 8:7, the carnal mind is enmity against God. By nature, we were rebellious. We were God's enemy. I remember years ago, I remember one lady telling me, well, I don't know what God's will is. Well, I had to respond and tell her, no, you know exactly what God's will is. And that's actually something I've had to say to many people over the years. The problem isn't that we don't know what God's will is. The problem is we just don't want to do it. And so we convince ourselves, well, I'm not really sure what God's will is. People say that, well, I don't know what God's will is. And they sometimes say that when they're talking about things that God doesn't speak about. Or like, well, which college should I go to? Or what job, should I be a baker or a cop? Or should I marry Tim or Jim? Well, these are things that God doesn't dictate. He doesn't dictate every aspect of our life. Well, we're free to choose many aspects of our life like that. So, no, God's will doesn't speak about things like that. But in those places where God's will has spoken, God makes his will perfectly plain. He wrote it in our hearts. He wrote it on the stone tablets which he gave to Moses. And he's made it very clear in his word. God's will is that you don't lie. God's will is that you don't cheat. God's will is that you don't steal. God's will is that you don't talk about each other behind your backs. God's will is that you forgive one another no matter what the other person has done. It's not hard to know God's will. It's written perfectly plain, both in our hearts and in his word. The problem is that we don't, the problem is not that we don't know God's will. The problem is we just don't want to do it. We are, as Paul says, disobedient, sons of rebellion. And because we don't want to do it, we make all kinds of excuses trying to convince ourselves that, well, I'm not so sure that that really is God's will. And we know what God's will is. We're just disobedient and rebellious children. We were sons of disobedience, but now, Paul says, we are sitting with Christ. Disobedient children aren't sitting at the dining room table, are they? Disobedient children aren't sent to their room. Disobedient people don't sit on thrones with the king, at least if the king knows that they're rebellious, right? They're sent to the dungeons. But Paul says, no, we're not sent to our rooms. We're not sitting in the dungeons. No, we're sitting with Christ in the heavenly places. Because even though we were a rebellious people, we have been forgiven in Christ. Even though we often say to God, I don't want to do that, God doesn't send us to the dungeons where we belong, but he invites us to come and sit with him at the banquet feast of the Lamb in the heavenly places as children who have been washed, as children who have been forgiven. We were, this is what we are now in Christ, no longer children under wrath, but children of God sitting with Christ in the heavenly places. All of this was accomplished by God's grace. As Paul reminds us in verse 8 of our text, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not an ounce of this, not one little bit, not one jot was done by our own doing or our own strength. And it's very important, Paul reminds us here and elsewhere as well, that having begun in God's grace, we don't give up, but we continue in that same grace of God. Paul reminds the Galatians in Galatians 1:6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. So there's that temptation that we have to say to God, well, you've got me going. You know, thanks for your grace. You got me started, but I've got it from here. There's that temptation to say to God, well, oh, that's, your grace is great. I'm forgiven. Okay, I can do it on my own now. But the problem is, as soon as God lets go, as soon as we try and do it on our own, we fail. We fall every time. We fall right back into the same habits. We fall right back into death. We fall right back into disobedience. We fall right back into that muddy, filthy mud hole that Christ raised us out of. We can't continue on our own. As we have started in God's grace, so also we need to continue in God's grace, even unto the end. Our readings, our Old Testament reading and our gospel reading as well, remind us that as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so also Christ was lifted up. That whoever looks upon him. Imagine being in that wilderness with the children of Israel, and a serpent bites you. Imagine the temptation to do it on your own, to say, oh, I got to suck the venom out. I got to get to the hospital. But if you tried to do it on your own, you wouldn't make it. But if instead you remembered the promises of God, you looked to the serpent, you were healed. So also God reminds us, you can't do it on your own. Every time you're bitten, every time you sin, look to Christ, and he will restore you. He will forgive you. We were dead, Paul reminds us. But now we are alive by his grace. Therefore, continue in his grace. We were walking around wearing our sin, bragging about our sin, showing off our sin, our nakedness, our shame exposed. But now we are covered in God's grace. Continue in that grace of God. We were slaves to the desires of our flesh, but now we have been raised out of that mud by Christ. We were sons of disobedience. Now we are sitting with Christ in the heavenly places. God's grace has done all this for us and so much more. Continue, therefore, steadfast in his promises, even unto the very end. As you have been saved by his grace, continue in his grace. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.